It's 14 after 9. You are listening to Spiritual Voyage on Radio Islam International, and on the program we have Mufti Ismail Menk. This is part 2, Challenges Facing the Youth. And just to do a quick recap, previously we spoke about youth are a danger in a sense that there are a lot of things that can tempt them into doing wrong. Mufti Sahab spoke about the environment, and then Mufti Sahab spoke about the social pressure, the materialism, and we also took few queries in the previous program. Today we further discuss this this topic with Mufti Sahab, and inshallah we'll be tackling those SMSs that were left over in that program. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab, we trust that you are well.
Jazakumullah khair, I trust that you are well, sounding a little bit fluish. Allah grant you shifa.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Sahab, let's first take, inshallah, some points, and then we'll go into the previous SMSs. We touch on the aspect of materialism. We never go much into it. Mufti Sahab was speaking about the fact that today children brag about the fact that my mother or my father drops me off in this car or in that car, and I have this gadget and that gadget. Perhaps we can ask the question that how do we undo materialism in our children?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think from the very beginning, we need to be speaking to our children. We need to be communicating with them. And more than anything else, we need to be the role models of our own children, because many times the relationship that we have with our children is such that they choose role models outside the home, and they are not guided in the way that they choose those role models. So firstly, we as parents need to be some of the biggest influences in the lives of our own children. And if not, then at least we need to be able to guide them as to whom they should be looking up to and the type of people that they should be considering as role models. Because what's happening today is there's too much of television, there's too many programs that are actually not beneficial at all. There are a lot of people that talk a lot, and some of that speech is actually not beneficial. The company and the people that the children mix with, generally all heading in the direction of materialism, where the world has taken priority over the deen, should I say, whereas the deen is supposed to have been that mark that is the highest in the eyes of the child. So this is just one way of trying to combat that as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Mm-hmm. I think together with that also, many of us forget to actually make dua for our children, to pray for our children, to ask Allah to guide them. Because obviously guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also asks us to play a role in that. So inshallah, if we have this type of a balance, it would benefit in a great way. Similarly, if we are going to be materialistic ourselves, how do we expect our children to be able to learn otherwise? And this is why it's very, very important for us to back up our own ideas. Many times people give birth and they themselves have to now look after these children and give them a decent upbringing, yet they have not matured themselves. They have not refined their character, their conduct, their system, their style. So it's important to know that once we have children, life should be changing completely. Not to say that we shouldn't be upright before that, but we should be even more conscious of what we're doing when we have been given the responsibility of looking after or bringing up these children.
Mm-hmm. The SMS line 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548. Mufti Sahab, just to look at some of the messages of the previous program. This is a very tough one. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, young men, 21, involved with a girl. Her parents were Muslims, now non-Muslims, believe in witchcraft. He made her pregnant. She had a miscarriage. He insists to marry her. His mum and family don't agree with the marriage. Please advise.
It's a very, very tricky question, because obviously, number one, they are not considering the fact that their son has committed major sin, and at the same time, he is insisting on trying to make it halal. They probably are looking for someone whom they consider suitable for their child, not realizing that the child has already chosen his own level, so to speak. It's difficult, like I've once said, that, you know, parents always have ideals for their children and they always have dreams for their kids. But as time passes, those dreams actually have to change based on reality on the ground. Sometimes, you know, you want an angel for your son, but if your son is a little devil, you cannot expect that to happen. So in this particular case, obviously, repentance is required, number one, tawbah. We don't condone that type of behavior at all. It is something that is unacceptable. Now that it has happened, you know, sometimes the parents may have to, if they cannot convince this particular child, they might have to give in to this type of a marriage if the girl herself is a Muslim woman, and if, subhanAllah, there is no other option. It's not easy to convince children. The reason why I say this is because I've come across so many people who marry, and later on they say, I didn't want to marry you, and I was interested in someone else. That is the most hurtful thing you could ever do to someone. You actually mess their lives up. So, you know, it's difficult for us to say, look, you know what, just forget about it, force your child to do this and that. I think at the moment we don't live in the age of force. And in fact, even from an Islamic perspective, force is not correct. So if you counsel the child yourself and the child happens to see that this is not a good idea, then, subhanAllah, it may be beneficial. But sometimes, you know, even if you think a child is making a mistake, I believe that sometimes you might have to allow them to make a halal mistake than for them to keep on living within haram, if you know what I mean. So it might not be the ideal person in your eyes, but to stop them from haram that may be carrying on behind your backs, and you might become guilty of sort of supporting it in an indirect way. Is to stop all that, you may have to settle for this particular nikah, because nikah, as you know, is something halal. If the person is a Muslim, then obviously that nikah would be valid, and at the same time it would help the people stop the haram that they are engaging in. A lot of parents are also living in a dream where they think that, you know what, my child is not perhaps committing haram, and I don't think they would do this and do that, yet perhaps it's happening on a daily basis or on a regular basis. So we need to actually come out of this, you know, sort of a dream idea, some, you know, ideal thoughts that we have. We need to start thinking reality, and we need to start assisting in this cause. May Allah make it easy for all our sons and daughters, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them and forgive us as well.
Ameen. The next message reads, it's from Ummu Ahmed. It reads, parenting is a real challenge in this century. Parents need to understand that the youth themselves find it even harder to deal with the many influences they are faced with. So this situation demands more of today's parents to be understanding and available to their teenage children. Parents need to spend quality time with their children, irrespective of their age. Many feel when the children are older, they don't need time together. In fact, as teenagers need more engaging time with their parents and family. Be open to discuss current and important issues and crises that youth may experience. Topics like puberty, sexuality, drugs, pornography, aqidah, etc. must be discussed so our children have a solid foundation of belief systems to protect their iman. Parents need to also be role models to their children. May Allah help us and guide us all. This is from a sister. Maybe you want to just comment quickly, Mufti Saab?
I think I agree with it in the sense that all the points that are raised are very, very valid and very current. We definitely need to play a bigger role in the lives of our children. The problem is many of us are busy in our own little things. Sometimes parents themselves are involved in haram, and sometimes they themselves have not yet, you know, developed in terms of their own deen. And I think definitely the points that have been raised would have benefited us all. Jazakumullah khair.
Mm-hmm. The next message reads, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Mufti Meng a long life with lots of good health and happiness. I enjoy your talks, tafsir, etc. Teens not reading salah, how to keep them on track?
I think there are so many different ways of trying to help them. Obviously, number one would be for us from a very early age, and wallahi, this definitely helps. Look at the homes where the parents fulfill their salah, and they do so regularly. They give that salah the preference that it deserves. They happily read their salah. They don't do it as a chore. Sometimes people like, you know, oh no, I've got to read salah. So they make it out to be a burden. When that happens, the children from a very early age, they look at it as a burden as well. But if you make it out to be something, and it should be, that is an honor, etc., etc., you would definitely be able to have children who will look at it from a different angle from the very beginning. And then I do know that as time passes, perhaps the children might, after having been regular with their salah, they might, go back slightly. They might become a little bit weaker in that. We definitely need to keep it going. We definitely need to talk about it. We need to be able to encourage them, show them that not only will it make us happy, but over and above that, it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. As the children grow older, we play an important part in guiding them to the type of friends that they have. I've also found that when our children have friends who are concerned about salah, they automatically become people who are concerned about salah. Sometimes if the environment within the home is not so regular with salah, I think when they have friends who are regular, they can actually become even better than that which the home holds in terms of, the level of fulfillment of that salah. So it's important for us to also guide them towards the type of friends that they should be having. I know it's not easy to do that once they've already decided or chosen and so on, but from an early age it can happen. Also, sometimes the schools that they are sent to, the type of teachings that they are taught there. I know here in South Africa we have so many options of Muslim schools and schools where perhaps they have little circles of Muslims. Even in the universities they have Muslim students associations, etc. I think by participating in some of the beneficial programs, etc., it probably would have a positive impact on this particular child, conscientizing them not only of the salah, but all the other duties that they have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, also remember to make dua for your children and spend a lot of time with them. When we do spend time with them, like I say, they must always be seeing us giving preference to that particular salah. I know Islamic talks also definitely do help, reminders and lectures, etc. So that also should be a priority within our lives, so that the children can benefit from this as well.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking to Mufti Menk, and the topic under discussion is challenges facing youth. And the SMS line to the program is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 0727861548. The next message reads, Mufti Saab, we as grandparents, we do all our salah, but my grandson just don't want to perform. When I scold them, the mother becomes angry.
I think it's important to go back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he asks us to instruct our children to fulfill salah from the age of 7. And after that, at the age of 10, we can become a little bit harder with them. We can employ methods that would actually put pressure on them. And some of those methods would include perhaps, penalizing them maybe with something they really like. You know, sometimes I found that even with my own children, disciplining them by taking away a little bit of the privileges or some of the technology that they have, like, you know, maybe their iPads or their games, etc. If we restrict that or make it seem that, you know what, we are going to give this to you if you deserve it by either getting points, you know, brownie points, or for example the stars or something, if you do this you get this, and if you do that you lose out. So we have to employ methods of trying to encourage them. At the same time, it's very difficult. It's becoming difficult because of the environment outside the home. A lot of us have an ideal environment or semi-ideal within the home, but when it comes to outside the house, there is no talk of salah. Like I said, at school, nothing of that nature is spoken about. At the madrasas, for example, the children that are there sometimes, if they are of a background whereby they don't give importance to Islamic education, even though they will be going to the madrasa, but their influence on the other children will not be that on the level that we would require. Now, sometimes our own children are a bad influence upon others because maybe they waste their time doing so many things. I know nowadays these computer games that we have, these games on the iPhones or games on the smartphones, etc., they take up so much time that even the adults get caught in some of this and they spend hours on end playing games. Some of these interactive games are extremely addictive. You know, even the non-Muslims complain about how bad it is for the children. Now, if that takes up so much of time, what happens is a child would not like to break something interesting they think they are doing for something they think is just a chore or a burden. So it's important for us to discipline them from the very beginning and to be able to guide them, to tell them that they need to have limits when it comes to things like games and things like spending your time doing, you know, recreational things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the particular people who've raised this issue and for all the others who are facing similar issues. Mm-hmm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us all.
Ameen. 011-854-1548. The next one reads, with the sub, lots of SMSs coming through, so we'll give them some preference this morning. Assalamu alaikum, please advise how to deal with children who refuse to wear the kurta, especially when making salah. Also, how to cope with the children who refuse to listen to parent asking them not to watch TV.
I think the issue of dress code, what is of importance, again, is from the very beginning, if we give importance to that particular dress code by dressing in it, the child will actually follow without us even speaking. I'm sure in almost all cases, a little child who is still an infant would actually cry to dress similar to the mother or the father. And if they've only seen their mother or father dress in a specific way, I'm speaking from my own experience, and I've seen so many other children who actually desperately want to dress just like their parents. So sometimes that would happen even without speaking to them. As they grow a little bit older, obviously they start becoming prone to being, or they start becoming affected by what they see outside. And sometimes, you know, when we try to force our children to do something, they might do it, but they develop a hatred towards that particular thing. The best thing would be to sit with them, to talk to them, to communicate with them, to try once, to try twice, to keep on trying, to try and speak to them using different examples, and sometimes not just a direct bashing. What I've also noticed is nowadays when you bash your children directly, and what I mean by bashing here is verbal bashing, where you tell them, you know, it's very bad and you're going to Jahannam and you this and you that, and you just start picking on them for everything, they become so, so distant that they don't even want to be in your presence. So whenever you're around, they want to run away. If they come, for example, to have a meal together, they would just spend 5 minutes, quickly eat and gone. They don't even want to speak because of the way we speak to them. We pick on absolutely everything, and then they are distanced from us. So sometimes we should just encourage them by speaking to them using different methods, you know, different examples and so on. Sometimes you just need to give them a little bit of a break. What I think we need to do is also prioritize. Ask yourself the levels. One is something that we would really love, like something mustahab, something that is good, something that is better. The other is something permissible, and the if you go beyond the line, you get something that is haram. So for as long as it's not totally haram, you can actually, you know, you don't have to put so much pressure on them to achieve. Once if they cross that line and go to the level of haram, then you will have to put a little bit more pressure on them, because obviously that would be unacceptable. So sometimes while we are trying to force our children to, for example, cover in a specific way that we would like them to cover, yet they are covering whatever they're supposed to be covering, we may lose them to actually uncovering because of their frustration with the way we are dealing with them sometimes. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to explain to our children what is best, and to be able to encourage them to do that which is ideal. Ameen.
9:33, we go for a commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. And the topic under discussion this morning is challenges facing youth. Anything that's related to youth, you can ask your questions, inshallah, and we'll pose it to Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, the next question reads, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Menk. I am a teenager. I am punctual on my salah, alhamdulillah. I have made tawbah about my past, and I'm trying to be my best to gain the closeness of Allah. But I find that the harder I'm trying, the tougher it's getting. I'm now getting thoughts that my previous salahs are not accepted and I have to repeat them, and when I try to ignore these thoughts, I find many reasons to justify why I need to repeat my salahs. And I feel that it can't be shaitan giving me these thoughts as he is chained up in this month. Please advise, it's very difficult to be a teenager and I'm constantly worried and scared.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think what's important for us to note is that while we are trying to become better people, it definitely is shaitan who has tampered with us. You know, while we do say that shaitan is tied up in the month of Ramadan, and there are ahadith to prove that, there is discussion as to whether or not it's only the senior shayateen, so to speak, and also there is discussion of whether the effect and impact of that particular or of those shayateen would actually remain within the month of Ramadan, even though they may not be there or they may be tied up. So sometimes it's the devil within where our own thoughts overtake us. So we cannot say that haram is not happening in Ramadan or nothing evil happens in Ramadan. It does happen. A lot of people do commit sin in the month of Ramadan and they are fully responsible for it. So sometimes these thoughts are wrong thoughts. And in this particular instance, I'm quite certain that the thoughts are wrong. Sometimes it has to do with the diet of a person, as silly as that may sound to some, but those who know would actually know. Perhaps a lack of some of the minerals and vitamins that you need, they start creating thoughts in your mind and you start thinking things that are not actually so normal because you are lacking something in your diet. So it's important for us to get ourselves checked sometimes, the blood, and it doesn't mean you're not normal, it doesn't mean that you are you know, a psychopath or something, but it does mean that sometimes you need to have some minerals in your body and vitamins in order for you to be able to even think properly. It's just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system works within our own bodies. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose that. So that's on one hand. But the other hand, my brother, you are becoming regular with your salah. Now, you don't have to worry about the salah that you've read in the past, and now you're starting to go back and say that, oh, perhaps that was invalid, that wasn't, etc., etc. You make dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Oh Allah, accept it from us. You are indeed all hearing and you are all knowing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His grace and His mercy, He will accept it. He knows that we tried. He knows that we, our concentration, mine included, is not 100% in salah. We try our best, and the rest we leave in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that. So try not to go back, because that is definitely one of the ways that shaitan spoils the beauty in our prayer and in our worship. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. I think it's a good sign that you're actually feeling that you need to do more, but it becomes bad when you start going back and saying, okay, perhaps this is not accepted. Perhaps my wudu is not done. Perhaps my yesterday's fast wasn't actually valid. Perhaps this, perhaps that. Sometimes this can become such an obsession that it becomes a sickness. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in this regard. Please don't take it so seriously, such that you actually start spoiling your, you know, everything for yourself after it was all coming right. You need to leave things in the hands of Allah and believe that He is merciful enough to be able to accept from you your trial, the fact that you did try. Now, if definitely there was a reason to believe that a salah was invalid or that a fast was invalid because you know that maybe you did something wrong or maybe you read salah without wudu, etc., and you know that it has happened, then you would have to repeat that particular salah. But you don't go back and start thinking maybe, maybe not, etc. If you know that that was the case, then it's a different issue altogether. But if you start doubting and your mind starts becoming weak in that regard, then please try and understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not ordained these acts of worship in order to punish us, but He has ordained them in order for us to achieve His pleasure, number one. Number two is for us to benefit from it ourselves at the same time and lead better lives.
Mm-hmm. Let's speak a little bit about drugs, because I see we've got about 15 minutes left, and that's also one of the issues that our youth are facing. And it starts from a very young age, sometimes even young as 10 years old. How do we deal with this scourge?
It all goes back to what we've been talking about regarding the environment, regarding the friends we mix with, regarding the pressures that are there. I know a lot of children are introduced to drugs at schools, and a lot of them are introduced to drugs also when they go out to the parties or to the clubs, etc., etc. And this is why in Islam, the rulings, people think that, you know, they're very strict, etc., but these rulings are there in order to protect us. They are there in order to ensure that we don't fall into bad ways and habits that become addictive. I can give you one beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't have anything constructive to do after Salatul Isha, you must go to sleep, go to bed. Don't delay, don't waste time. Yes, if it is something in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're achieving a reward or something extremely important that needs to be done, then you may do it. But as a sunnah, if you don't have anything better to do, you'd rather go and sleep. That itself is such a powerful, sunnah, because a lot of sin actually happens at night. A lot of the times people end up doing things. Let's talk about this issue that you've just raised, the issue of drugs. A lot of the people by nightfall, they now go, they start going to source their drugs. They go and have their drugs, etc. And later on, it becomes such that habit develops even during the daytime. So we need to start developing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have found something very, very important and interesting. That is, when you increase your good deeds, automatically your bad deeds start decreasing. When a person is involved in evil, and they make sure, firstly, they ask Allah's forgiveness, they make sure that they fulfill their salah, they make sure they read Quran, they make sure that they increase their act of charity, they make sure they go out to help. You can volunteer in a good cause. When you become occupied in that which is beneficial, automatically that which is detrimental and harmful becomes less in your life. You don't even have the time for it. When you have too much time at hand, then you start thinking of things, you start doing things, you become bored, and you start telling yourself, now how do I fulfill this void, how do I fill this void that's in my life? And obviously the system out there that is very, very materialistic, or should I say not religious at all, teaches us that you fill this void and this boredom by doing something that is actually not even permissible. So people will go into drugs, people will go into pornography, people will go into immorality in terms of perhaps adultery, fornication, etc. And for them, that's a pastime. It's a pastime. That's how it starts. And later on, it becomes a habit. It becomes an addiction. It is a very, very serious matter. I think we should campaign against smoking as well, because if we campaign against smoking, what will happen is it will help the children even when it comes to drugs. A lot of people are very, very lenient when it comes to the ruling of smoking, not realizing that even the kuffar have declared that it is prohibited and it is a punishable crime to sell cigarettes without mentioning that this kills you or this is extremely harmful to your health. Even advertising cigarettes in the newspapers or anywhere else, they need to say smoking is harmful to the health. So if the kuffar have got to a level where they have declared it to be absolutely harmful, I think we need to be even more careful, because our bodies are an amana, such that we should be more conscious of this amana than the kuffar. So when we are so relaxed regarding smoking, I think it gets to the next stage. I've heard some ulama actually say, don't even marry a smoker, because a lot of the times they use that in order to hide perhaps the fact that they might be on weed or they might be on another drug. Now, I may not agree totally with the hiding part, but I do agree that, you know what, smoking is a really, really bad habit. Inshallah, by us campaigning against that, we would automatically be campaigning against the drugs as well, because that is one stage after that.
Interesting indeed. And Mufti Sahab, what about the person who's already hooked onto it, a youngster that's already hooked onto it? What hope can we share with this person?
I think number one is we need to admit that we have this problem, and you need to confide in someone that is senior, perhaps a family member, someone who cares for you, and you need to seek help. You need to ask, obviously we all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, but if you really want to be assisted, if you really hate yourself because of what you're doing, and it does happen, you get to a stage where you just don't like this habit, you firstly need to admit, you need to, a lot of the people or the, who live with you would probably never even know that you have this particular habit. You need to admit it, and you need to seek help, and you need to be very, very hard on yourself. When I say hard on yourself, I mean, don't just present excuses for yourself. Oh, you know, I was on drugs, I gave it up, now I'm on a relapse, and now this and that. No, no, no. Be very, very hard on yourself. Don't go there again. You may have to change your friends, you may have to change your phone numbers, you may have to not be in touch with anyone who was in the circle that was feeding this bad habit of yours. You have to change completely. You have to be very hard. It has to be a revolutionary change, because it is such a bad habit that even one small person who used to be in, or one of the teeth in that cog that was running this whole motor in the bad habit that you had, just one of those can actually spoil everything again for you after you actually became strong. So you need to become very, very strong. Seek Allah's assistance. Perhaps get a little bit of advice regarding your diet. I'm a person who really would look into the diet and what you're eating and what your blood might be lacking. You know, your system might be lacking a few, like I said in the earlier question, minerals and vitamins, etc. It's important to replenish. It's important to make sure that you're healthy, because a lot of us take that for granted. We don't realize it does affect our mind. It does affect even our spirituality. Go back to the hadith, al-mu'min al-qawiyu khayrun wa ahabba ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-za'if, that, you know, a mu'min who is strong is far better than the one who is weak, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. You need to definitely be very strong and very hard on yourself. And at the same time, you need to be able to have the consciousness of Allah. Develop this consciousness when we become regular with our salah, when we become people perhaps who have spent time in the right direction. When I say in the right direction, I mean, you know, sitting in a beautiful lesson of tafsir or hadith or some form of ta'aleem in the masjid or in the home. That definitely does have a massive impact on the person. Many homes are guilty of not sitting together to listen to something good regarding the deen. You know, the ta'aleem that we grew up with in a lot of our homes is lacking sometimes. After we get married and have our own children, we never ever sit with our children, open a book and read something beautiful for them to listen to a story, number one. Number two is develop their deen and their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst listening to something beautiful, even if it's 5 minutes, just 5 minutes or 2 minutes. I think we're lacking in this, and this is why there is a void somewhere in the lives of these people where they just keep going back to this bad habit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. If you seek assistance, and if you actually have some professional person trying to help you, please make sure that this person knows Islamic values and they know that what your religion actually entails and requires. Because sometimes what I've noticed is when people go out for counseling, when people go out to seek assistance, they are actually given sometimes advice that is not very Islamic. And sometimes the person doesn't consider the fact that, you know what, these people are Muslims, they have a different system, certain things are haram, and therefore they are sent up a wrong tree sometimes.
Mm. Well, these are two questions. What role does the community play? And secondly, what role does the family play in a scenario like this?
I think when it comes to the community, collectively we all need to be concerned. Obviously we will have in the masajid and perhaps in the schools and various other places and platforms, programs to conscientize people, to be able to encourage them to do good. Also, we need to provide recreational facilities such that we would be able to give our children the opportunity to engage and participate in clean fun. You know, sometimes you have a sports day, you have various other ways, you know, you have a club whereby they might be playing cricket and football, etc. I know that some people are not on that particular level, they don't encourage all of that, but to be very, very realistic, that has kept a lot of children away from engaging in something that is totally haram in a major way. So we cannot, you know, argue about these small little things as community to say, no, not every child is going to, you know, have a long beard and so from the very beginning. They will have to develop slowly but surely. Everyone is on a different level, and we have prioritization also in terms of the deen. The child would be fulfilling salah, we hope. Salah is something we don't ever compromise. So many other things we wouldn't compromise, but we will get to them as time passes, inshallah. Not everyone lives in an ideal situation. So community needs to provide this type of or these alternatives, this conscientization, this awareness, this support. And at the same time, when it comes to the family unit, we all need to be supportive of the one who is seeking help and assistance, and try and help them in that particular way. It's a very, very vast topic. I'm sure, you know, when there is a specialized talk on drugs and perhaps intoxicants and some of those habits, then perhaps we might be able to go into further details as to the inside of the home and how exactly we can be speaking and communicating with these children of ours and considering them members of the ummah, you know, members of the broader family, which is the ummah, the community, the entire system that we have needs to all be heading in one direction. Unfortunately, what happens with our children is they get instruction from us, and everything that happens after that heads in another direction. So they are confused sometimes because on one hand they have this instruction, but when they go out or sometimes even within the same home, there is confusion because everything that's happening is against the advice of the same person sometimes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us.
Ameen. What's up? The next message reads, we've got about 3 minutes, if we can answer this one quickly. It reads, I know when Ustad who caught students taking Viber pipes, how do they deal with the student?
I think, subhanAllah, you know, I'm sorry, I just heard that Viber pipes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. These names and these type of things are just so new and so many that we just hear about them every so often, and we have to have an explanation as to what exactly it is. But that having been said, I think it depends on the level of that particular child's involvement in that particular habit and what exactly that habit is. Something that is very bad needs to be dealt with, because if you don't deal with it harshly sometimes, like the issue of drugs, if it's not dealt with in a madrasa or by an ustad in a very hard or harsh way, what can happen is it can spread to others on one hand. And the other hand is if we deal with it so harsh, we could break a child who might have come out of it if we handled it carefully. So we become in a catch-22 where, you know, you're on this tightrope. You don't know exactly whether by being lenient you're going to perhaps have more children get involved and when you could have saved them, or by being too hard you might crack this child who is seeking assistance. I think if the child is remorseful, regretful, really, really regretful, that's the only time we should show a little bit of leniency. But my personal take on the issue of drugs is zero tolerance. I think such children should be really dealt with in a way that it doesn't spread to more children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I know some parents might be quite upset by hearing that, but to be honest with you, I'd rather save the other 20 children in the classroom than to try my best to handle a child who has a habit that is sometimes, you know, the worst. Ask those who are dealing with, you know, children who are on drugs. They will tell you that it is so, so bad that sometimes the amount of lies that comes out, the amount of evil that comes out, it's such a big frustration. So I would rather save a lot of people and, you know, punish one person or penalize them or maybe expel them or deal with them in whatever best way I could, maybe send them to a counselor, maybe send them for help, etc., rather than keeping them in the system knowing that this is a bad habit and knowing that it is definitely, definitely going to spread to other children. May Allah protect our children. It's a difficult one.
Ameen. Muftisab, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to you, inshallah, next week.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and ease, and perhaps may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us on the day of Eid, that we can spend that day in the obedience of Allah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.